If you'll open your Bibles to Proverbs 31. I'm sure many of you have memorized this proverb, especially you ladies and young ladies, but I wonder if any of you men have. This psalm, or this proverb, was actually written to a son. But we will start in verse 10 in honor of Mother's Day today, as we thank God for this precious gift that He's given us in mothers. Proverbs 31, verse 10. We'll go verse by verse here. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is fair above rubies. A virtuous woman, she has good taste. She's hard to find. Her taste is for what is good, at least for what God thinks is good. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She has her husband's trust because of her virtue, because of her moral character, her fortitude, the fight that is in her to do what is good. He knows that she will fight for the best for his house. She is loyal to her duties. And she knows that what she wants is best for him, for her family. And she does not question her loyalty. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She will go the distance to provide the best, to care for her family, to nourish them and strengthen them. Verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's not lazy, she's disciplined, she cares for the nourishment of her own and all that are in her husband's house. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. The taste of grapes is sweet. She's looking to increase her household's wealth and not to destroy it. The land makes her money, so she uses this money to bless her family with the sweet fruit of the vine. Verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her candle goes not out by night. And because of the good she accomplishes, she is strong in body and she is strong in spirit. She is confident of what is good and her labors produce good things. She labors long and she labors hard. Verse 19, she lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She's generous with what God gives her family, and she helps those who are in need. She's compassionate. She's empathetic to those who are lacking. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She does not fear the storms that are ahead because her virtuous labor has prepared her family to endure the storm. Her household is ready because of her efforts. They will be warm. They will be safe. Verse 22. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She is rewarded with things that are lovely. Her hard work pays off. 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders in the land. Her husband has a good reputation, and the leaders know him and make company with him. Verse 24. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So her labor, again, it profits her house. And she is strong, again, she is strong in spirit because of her fear of God. She is honorable. She is optimistic about the future and even finds joy when considering the future. She's not a worrywart. That's what my mom used to call my grandma, because she worried about things. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her speech builds others up, and she's not a gossip. And her love for God is portrayed in her kindness to others. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's focused on the best for her house again and utilizes every waking minute to this end. She's not fancied by idleness, by self-comfort. There is a difference between rest and idleness, by the way. Doing things of no profit don't make her happy. She's not the chairman of the bridge club. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Proverbs 31, woman commands the respect of her children, not by order of her mouth, but with her love for them, with her charity. Her children mimic their father's behavior. Her husband respects her sincerely and displays this for all to see in the house. This is the culture of the home. Verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. The husbands say, honey, you're the best. And he means it. This is how we address our wives in the home. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Her love for God and the fact that she is a child of God makes her worthy of the husband's praise. And in fact, she deserves it. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Husbands, reward her for her labors. It's often said that the men who pay the best have the best employees. You'll often find that the best workers, the best engineers, the most skilled workers will go to work for those who pay the most. It's common sense economics. There are three things that can stifle this Proverbs 31 woman that we all hold so highly. Let me share a few of my thoughts on that. The first thing is fear of the future, a lack of hope for the future. The Proverbs 31 woman trusts in God, and she has done the work to prepare. This work that she has done in faith. Faith that God is good and that her future is good. She knows that the future is in God's hands. And so, ladies, you must be optimistic about the future. This is why Paul exhorts us to fix our mind on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on the things above, he says, not on the things of earth. Your affections, those things that make you feel warm, set those affections on the things that are above. What is Christ doing at God's right hand? He is ruling. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is conquering his enemies and will not stop until that day he conquers his last enemy, death. Also, stop using the world for your reference point. The world is not your point of reference by which you are to compare. You are to compare with things of eternity. Stop comparing yourself to the skinny mom next door who drives the BMW and she has two very precious public school children. Don't compare yourself to her. Jesus says these things will not last. Also, don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand around sinners who reject the gospel. And don't sit around scorners who mock what God says is good. We must learn what God says is good. We must train our senses, as Hebrews 5 says. We must train our senses to discern that which is good and that which is evil. And so we train our senses of touch, our senses of smell, of sight, of hearing, of taste. We must train these things to discern what is good and indeed what God calls as good. And we don't sit around scorners who mock what God says is good. So if you're going to order a magazine, order a good magazine. If you're going to have friendships, have good friendships. Be with ladies who encourage you. Paul exhorts us in Titus 2 that the godly women ought to instruct the younger women how to manage their households, how to love their children, love their husbands. I would encourage you to see to it that you have these relationships in your life. Also, you should be disciplined of mind. Memorize Philippians 4, 6 through 8. This tells us how the peace of Christ guards our hearts and minds and gives us a filter to run our thoughts through. That which is pure, lovely, admirable, right, that which is excellent, worthy of praise. This is the filter that we are to run our thoughts through. And if your thoughts aren't lining up with any of these things, repent. Repent of these thoughts. Follow after God. Also, you must go on the offenses with those things that you fear the most. You must turn around and go after the lion or whatever it is that is haunting you. You need to train your senses again to learn that when the lion swipes his paw at you, that it won't actually touch you. Train your senses so that when the lion swipes his paw at you, that you don't need to run away in fear. Go on the offensive and tell that lion to go back to his den. Again, be disciplined of mind. The second thing that tears away at a Proverbs 31 woman is selfish ambition and individualism. Let's face it, there can be nothing about godly wives that is selfish. Everything about a mother and a wife is exactly the opposite. Titus 2:5, 1 Peter 3:1, and Ephesians 5:22 all instruct the wives to submit to husbands. And in Ephesians says, as unto the Lord. When you are not submitting yourself to your husband, you are denying Christ's headship over you, and you are denying the benefits thereof. And in fact, Titus 2:5 says that you should do this that the word of God be not blasphemed. Also, don't tear your house down with your own ambitions. How about hobbies and things that you do? Does your husband want you doing these things? Just a question maybe you should ask him. How about your dreams? What you want for the future? Is it what your husband wants for the future? Have you asked him? Do you talk about these things? The third thing that tears down the Proverbs 31 woman is a husband that does not lead. Ephesians 5:23, husbands are the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And the same exhortation goes, husbands, when you do not lead your wife, you are denying Christ's headship over you. And if you are the head, as Christ is the head, there are some serious implications. Christ not only died, but Christ also rose in victory over death. And you need to apply this in your house as you conquer sin and help your wife to conquer sin. Ephesians 5:25 and 6, Paul says, to love her as Christ loves and purify her with the washing of the word. This is your priestly duty. You must bring the word of God to her. You must bring it to bear. You must help her to apply God's word. Make application of it. for your future. Help her to see that the future is good, the future is bright. Help her to be optimistic about the future as Christ is reigning. This is your prophetic duty. And 1 Peter 3:7 says, you are to dwell with your wife according to knowledge or understanding. Give her honor as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you view your wife with the same equality that God does? I hope so. But this honor should be the culture set in your home, because your children will imitate you. If your children are not rising up and calling their mother blessed, maybe you should, husbands. Your children will imitate you. They will imitate your honor, and they will imitate your dishonor. Men, lead your wives as yourself follow after Christ, your great shepherd. You follow after him to green pastures. Lead your wife there along with you. Do you hunger for green pastures, or are you often the one running to the fence? Are you the one out in the playground standing behind the tree in hopes that your teacher won't see you? Or are you the one in the playground tugging on the pants of your teacher? I hope that we can be men who are following after our teacher closely. I hope that we are the men who are following after our shepherd, knowing that he is going to lead us to green pastures and cool waters. And I hope that we have the faith and the courage to take our wives, our mothers, along with us. So seek him. Seek him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess to you that we are rent with sin. Father, not one of our works measures up. In fact, our best works, you say, are as filthy rags. Oh, Father, we pray for your mercy to overwhelm us. Father, would you give us faith? Lord, would you help us to deny the world and to follow after Christ? Would you help us to be humble that you would raise us up? Would you help us to decrease, that you would increase in and among us? Oh, Father, I pray that you would help us as husbands to be head of our wives as you are head, to lead as you have led, to die as you have died, to sacrifice as you have sacrificed, to bleed as you have bled, and to rise up as you have been risen. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins. For, Father, we have fallen short. We do not acknowledge you as sovereign in all areas of life, and we run away in fear. And, Father, we try to control the outcome. We try to determine a good outcome and set our own way. But, Father, you even direct the hearts of kings. Father, help us to trust in you, knowing that you are good. Help us to see that you are good. Help us to have faith. Help us to believe the testimony of the saints of old. Help us to believe, Father, that you are with us, that you love us, that you are good. And Father, help us to follow after you in faith, great faith. Oh, Father, would you please forgive us for our lack of faith? Father, we pray that we would be more honorable, that we would honor our mothers, Lord, that we would honor our wives as the weaker vessel. And we pray that we would submit to our husbands as you have called us. Father, help us to not blaspheme your word. Help us to not nullify the work of the cross. Father, we now confess our own personal sins to you.
Thank you for listening to our messages from Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Our church has been meeting in public school facilities for many years. Because of political pressures and shifting worldviews, it will be increasingly more difficult for us to continue renting public facilities. Hence, we are thankful that the Lord has provided us real estate for a building in Elizabeth, Colorado. We are now in the process of constructing our new building that may be used for regular worship, discipleship, shepherds' conferences, and other ministry events. Presently, we have about 75% of funding necessary to complete the building. If you would like to contribute something to this project, we invite you to visit our website at reformationchurch.com. That's reformationchurch.com.